Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of this week. And so we're going to be joining those programs in progress here in just a moment. Wanted to let you know I will be back and I will see you on the other side. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll see you next week. God bless. Happy Thanksgiving Day to you, Brevard County. I'm sure that a lot of people who would normally be listening to me on the way to work are not on their way to work this morning. And so maybe you'll catch this at 10:30 or 5 o'clock whenever you listen to it. Maybe you listen to it on demand or online. But today is a very exciting message. When I share about the nature of God, and on yesterday's program, we were talking about that God gave. Today, I want to kick that up a notch. There's a man in 2 Samuel 13, verse number 3, and his name is Jehonadab. Thank you, God, that my name is not Jehonadab, because I would never be able to answer when people ask me what my name is. Anyway, happy Thanksgiving Day to you. I pray that you have a great day. Enjoy your family. Relax. Enjoy the day as much as you can. Remember to take time out to thank God and thank your family for all that they do for you. This man by the name of Jehonadab in 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse number 3, his name means this: God is generous. God is generous. You know, all the way back in the Garden of Eden, the serpent tried to convince Eve that God was holding out on her, that he was trying to deprive her. You know, and if I can address that accusation this morning, let me just say this: God is trying to hold out on you. He is trying to deprive you of things. He is trying to deprive you of pain, of misery, of heartache, of suffering, of the price tag of sin, of the depression, of the shame, of the grief, of the sorrow, of all that is lamentable about the heartache that Satan would bring. God is trying to deprive that of you. You see, it's the thief that comes to steal and kill and destroy. But God is a generous God, and he's not looking to steal things from you. He is looking to bless you. So many times people do not understand the principle of giving. Given it shall be given unto you, pressed down, good measure, shaking together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. And people just don't get that a man who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, but he who sows generously shall reap generously. And so if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap of the Spirit. And so much that is in there, because God is a generous God. You know, there was the man at the pool of Bethesda, and up until the day that Jesus walked up to him, once in a while an angel would stir the water and somebody would make it down into the water. The first person in, they were the person that got healed. But if you were the second one or the third one, you were out of luck. It was very, very competitive, I'm sure. You know, because I am that type of competitor, if I was that desperate for healing, I would be living in the pool of Bethesda. I would be having my meals in the water. I would be, you know, doing whatever transactions needed to be done. I would have all of my meetings. They would have to come to me and meet me in the water. You see, I'm not too proud like Naaman was in the Old Testament, where he said, why should I walk, or why should I bathe in the Jordan River when the rivers in my home country are so much cleaner, so much nicer than this? And the people came and said, you know, if he had asked you to do a hard thing, wouldn't you have done that? You know, I would have said, you know what, if you've got to be the first one in the water when the angel stirs the water to get healed, I would have stayed in the water. I would have been the first one in. But Jesus came and he changed that dynamic, and he walked up to the man at the pool of Bethesda, you know, who'd been there for decades, and he said, do you want to be made well? You see, God said, I don't need It's not about a rationing system. Do you realize that when it came to healing, that there were times Jesus went to the entire town and everyone in the town was healed? You see, he's not limited to just healing one person at a time, one person a day. Your blessing does not deprive me of my blessing. In fact, if you get blessed, I am supposed to rejoice with you, because guess what? The fact he blessed you and he's not a respecter of persons means that in reality he is going to bless me. So today, on this Thanksgiving Day, I just want to cry out and let you know that God is a generous God. It disarms you from the thought that God is a miser or that you and I are somehow unworthy, but instead that God is generous. It says, if you know how to give good gifts, how much more does your heavenly Father know how to give the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit. And so just to address this liberal, generous nature, I want to take you to the book of 1 Corinthians. By the way, if you and I, if we give God, you know, the time that we have here on earth, you know what he says? He's going to give us an eternity in his presence where there's no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more suffering, no more temptation, no more immorality, no more deception, no tempter, nothing. No, I think that's an extremely good deal. That's very generous on his part. That's better than I deserve. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, verse number 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all." And so that means that God is working in everybody in the body of Christ, without exclusion. God is working in your life today. Thank God that he's working in you. You know, we all ought to have signs around us that say under construction. You know, pardon our dust. You know, progress is taking place. God is working in us. It says in verse number 7, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." So he's given us his Son. He's given us the Spirit so that we could be of benefit to those around us. So in verse number 8, it says, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts," that's plural, "of healings," plural, "by the same Spirit, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." And so we're not going to get today focusing on the various individual gifts of the Spirit. But what I wanted to focus on is verse number 11, "But the one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." Another translation says he distributes these to each one severally as he wills. And so God is not just interested in giving you a little bit. God is a lavish giver. And so today, when we are expressing thanks and gratitude to God, we need to realize how generous God is, how gracious he is. He is, as Dave Ramsey says, he's better to us than we deserve. And so don't think that God is holding out on you. But I will say this. He will not bless us beyond our ability to survive the blessing. You know, if you came and completely buried me in truckload after truckload after truckload of $100 bills. I could say, wow, that would be great. But, you know, if you dumped all of those on top of me, it would crush me under the weight. It would suffocate me from the lack of oxygen. I would not be able to survive the blessing. And so God knows what he's doing. He does all things well. And so when he is distributing his gifts, he does it in such a way that it will be a blessing to us. It'll be a blessing to those around us. And yet it will not harm us. If you want to understand the lavish giving of God, just look at the life of Jesus. Study 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Read your Bible and discover, you know, that the gates of the city are made of a single pearl. The gates of heaven are made out of a single pearl. That's another sermon altogether. The foundations are made out of precious stones. He paves his streets with translucent gold, not asphalt or concrete. In other words, whatever he does is extravagant. Extravagant. And so today, I want you to know that if he did not withhold his son Jesus, heaven's most precious gift, he's not going to hold out on you. As you and I are expressing thanksgiving today, let's remember that God is a lavish giver. So allow faith to rise in your heart that no matter how large a need you've got, that God can meet that need. I also wanted to share this today. This is such a great truth that I really hope that more people are listening to this than what viewer or listenership may ordinarily be on a Thanksgiving day. But there's another name. It's Joyrib. Joyrib. Oh my goodness. And it's in 1 Chronicles chapter 24, verse number 7. And that name means God will contend. God will contend. And today I want to disarm the sense of isolation or defeated mindset or perpetual victimhood. You know, I don't like living in that sort of mindset. I believe that God's called us to victory, not to victimhood. And so I'm thankful that I do not have to fight my battles alone, but God fights my battles, that he will contend with me. He will contend for me. And there's so much that I want to share. First of all, let me take you back to the little book of Jude. It is it's just 25 verses. It's right before the book of Revelation. And when we're discussing God will contend, I want to put this in perspective for you. It says in verse number 9, yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body, mind you, the dead body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. So when I look at this, I see how precious we are in the sight of God. Moses' body was dead. Moses was a sinner. He did not get to go into the promised land. He got to see the promised land, but he did not enter the promised land because he failed to trust God enough to honor him as holy in the sight of the people. I will testify to you that when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, it was Moses who appeared to him. Moses was one of the people who appeared to him. And so eventually, Moses did get to enter into the Promised Land. But you know what? If after I've been in heaven in the presence of God, and then I get to go back and my feet, you know, sees, you know, an area that is probably pretty beautiful here on the earth, heaven's looking awful nice after that, and say, you know what? I think I'm going to choose to spend time with the promise maker and not just in the promised land. So, Moses was a sinner. And so as such, the devil came to lay claim to his body, but God sent Michael, the archangel, to contend with the devil over the body of Moses. Now, if God would see, an angel doesn't do anything on his own volition. He only goes and does what God has commissioned him to go and do, and he says what God has commissioned him to say. And so when he was contending over this dead body, if God would send an angel to contend over a dead body, how much more valuable are you and I? Because God will contend for us, not just when we're dead, but when we're alive. He is fighting for you. He is fighting for you right now. He is interceding. Jesus is interceding at the right hand of the Father. The Holy Spirit is interceding for you in accordance with the will of God. God is contending for you. And so today, if you are facing, you know, maybe it is not your happiest Thanksgiving. It may have been a year of heartache or sorrow or loss. Today, you might not have everything that you need. But I want you to know that you're not fighting this battle alone. God is fighting for you. He's generous, but he will also fight for you. And I will tell you this, when God fights, he fights to win. When God fights, he fights to win. Whatever I do, I want to win at it. I'm kind of competitive in that area. It's not to the point that I'm going to, throw a hissy fit if I lose or not. But when I'm in a fight, if I'm in a firefight, if I'm in a war, I'm going to fight the war to win. I'm not going to fight the war to break even or anything like that. I'm going to fight to win. And when God is fighting for you, he fights to win. He wants you to experience his victory. And so God is fighting for you. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, I got a lot of references and just a little bit of time to try and get this in. Matthew chapter 11, he's talking about John the Baptist. Matthew chapter 11, and it says in verse 11, assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And so there was contention going on because the devil didn't want John the Baptist's message going out because he was the forerunner of Jesus. He didn't want Jesus' message going out because it was the message of redemption and forgiveness. He didn't want the church going out because those were the vessels that God had chosen to take the faith. In fact, in Jude, it says that we have been selected once and for all to contend for the faith. You are God's plan A, and there is no plan B. You are God's plan A, and there is no plan B. He's not going to suddenly choose to use dogs as the messengers of salvation. It's you and it's me. That's how much confidence God has in you and I. And so when he is fighting for us, it's because we are in covenant relationship with him. If you remember, the children of Israel entered into covenant with the Gibeonites. There was some pretension. There was some false information that was communicated. Children of Israel didn't seek the wisdom and the counsel of God, but they entered into a covenant with them anyway, and later they found out who they were. And when the Gibeonites came under attack, because of the covenant, the children of Israel went to their rescue. Because of the covenant relationship that is ours through the blood of Jesus Christ, God is contending for you, whether it's spiritually, physically, relationally, financially, emotionally, whatever it might be, God is fighting for you. If God be for us, who can be against us? And so that brings us to an interesting passage of scripture back in the book of Psalms, back in Psalm 18 and verse number 25. Psalm 18, verse number 25 says, with the merciful you show yourself merciful. In the NIV, it says, to the faithful, you show yourself faithful. With a blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. With the pure you will show yourself pure, and with the devious you will show yourself shrewd. That phrase there, and with the devious you will show yourself shrewd, means that those people who are not in relationship with God, that God will stand in opposition to them because they are on the path of destruction. You see, God is contending for you. Even when we're running away from him, he's still contending for us. He's still contending for our heart. If people go to choose to spend an eternity apart from him, without his presence, God will have opposed them every step of the way. He will literally stretch his arms wide across the broad path of destruction. And he will say, you can go this way if you want, but it will be over my dead, buried, and resurrected body. That right now I'm mobilizing my saints. I'm mobilizing everything, that all of the resources of heaven, to get you to understand how much I love you. Today, on this Thanksgiving Day, let's remember that God is contending for us. You see, in Joshua chapter 5, verse number 14, it said that Joshua encountered the captain of the army of the Lord of hosts. And Joshua went up to him and said, are you for us or are you for our enemies? And he said, neither. I'm here for God. I'm here for God. And he said, by the way, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. And today I want you to know, God's kingdom, God is building his kingdom. I believe that God is building his kingdom, not just in faraway places, but he's building his kingdom here in America. If I did not believe that God was still building his church, if he had no intention of building Merit Assembly of God, he and I would have to be having a talk and saying, God, you need to get me out of here, because I'm not here just to you know, keep the lights on, God. I'm here to build your kingdom. I'm here to build your kingdom. And I'm thankful that Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You know why? Because you never go into a battle alone. You go into battle with God contending with you and for you. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 15, let me take you over there. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, that's the story of a man by the name of Jehoshaphat. And in verse number 15 it says, and he said, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And so he says, look, you're my covenant people. You're my chosen people. You're the king. I'm pleased with you. Tomorrow go out, position yourself, watch and see what happens. But I just want you to know, this battle doesn't belong to you. This battle belongs to me. And so today, as we are giving thanks, let's thank God. First of all, I would be doing you an injustice if I told you that as a Christian, you were not going to ever face any adversity or opposition. That's simply not true. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so even then, he was overcoming the world so that you and I could be victorious. There was another person by the name of Hezekiah, and he was surrounded by the king of Assyria. And in verse number 35, and it says, and it came to pass on a certain night, this is 2 Kings 19:35, that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when people rose early in the morning, there were the corpses all dead. So Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, departed and went away and returned home and remained at Nineveh. You see, it doesn't matter how badly you're outnumbered. It doesn't matter. I just feel right now, it doesn't matter what the blood report shows, the lab reports, about how many, and specifically white blood cell count is coming to me. It doesn't matter how many. You see, God can take care of any enemy, as many as there may be. Today, I pray that the eyes of your spirit would be opened to know that those who are for you are more than those that are against you. You know that even in the angelic realm, that there's angels 2-1 on God's side versus Satan's side. And even if all of the angels had gathered against you, God himself more than compensates for all of that. I want to close today real quick. We're running out of time. Happy Thanksgiving. I don't want to say that too many times, or not enough times today. I want you to be a very thankful people. But in Revelation chapter 19, verse number 11, it says, "Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Today, on this Thanksgiving, know that when God speaks a word, that's all that's necessary for him to bring victory. There's not a foe, not a weapon that can withstand his word. So today, as we have reason to thank God, let's thank God that he's generous to us and that he is fighting for us. God, we do thank you today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for desiring to teach us. And God, today we want to give you thanks for the many blessings that we have experienced. Most of all, God, thank you for yourself. Thank you for your generous gift, this generous life you've given. And God, I want to thank you. And I pray for every person right now who's going through a battle, that you would fight that battle.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
For